Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about everything involved with the American Legion, both here in Minnesota and nationally. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk all things American Legion today. And Mark Dvorak is the Department of Minnesota Commander for the American Legion. And he's also a member of New Prague Post 45. Commander Dvorak, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to co-host this program with you, and thank you for featuring the Legion family.
Commander, this like everything else in 2020, it's kind of a lost COVID year. We were planning on being at your fall convention up at Breezy Point, but with the COVID and the weather and everything else, we had to cancel that. But the radio show goes on, Commander, so I'm glad you could join us today as co-host. And I want to start out with, I got a copy of a proclamation from the state of Minnesota that says the American Legion has served our country for more than 100 years and is the nation's largest wartime veteran service organization. And whereas in the state of Minnesota, there are 10 districts and 549 posts working to strengthen our communities, states, nations with programs and services for our veterans, active duty service members and their families. And whereas, now therefore, I, Tim Walz, Governor of the Minnesota, do hereby proclaim Friday, October 23rd, 2020, as American Legion Day. Commander, after 100 years, and here we are, you're a commander for the second year, the governor of the state of Minnesota is recognizing the American Legion. Congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you, Tom, and I want to thank Governor Walz, certainly. That's quite an honor, and I found out about it yesterday. And I'm sure this was going to be probably read at our conference Friday when we were going to give out all our different awards on Friday. But that didn't happen, of course. So I just want to thank Walz for this proclamation. It means a lot to the American Legion family.
And, Commander, you're serving your second term as department commander here in Minnesota, largely because the COVID pandemic has prevented a lot of our service organizations, including the American Legion, from holding their conferences where they usually elect their new officers. How are you holding up during your second year, sir?
Well, I think overall, Tom, things have been going good. You know, we really haven't missed a beat other than not being able to be with each other in person, which, you know, a lot of people were certainly looking forward to this conference to seeing, you know, the family members in person. But, you know, through Zoom, you know, Microsoft Teams, you know, we've been having our meetings since March, and basically everything was canceled, you know, all our traveling, our meetings through probably early August, and we are traveling now somewhat with precautions taken. So, you know, the mission of the American Legion carries on.
And Commander, I know one of the things that you were going to talk about up at that fall convention was how important it is to continually revisit an organization's vision and mission to keep everybody focused and to adjust for how things have changed, like how they've changed over the last 100 years.
Yeah, you know, our mission really, you know, we're in our 102nd year, and our mission has not changed. You know, we have all our programs that we do with our communities, which affect our state and our nation, and that's what basically Friday was all about at our conference, giving out some of the many, many awards that we have in the American Legion that we've had for decades. And that was disappointing you know, all the awardees are going to be up there, and that was disappointing for them. I'm sure that we canceled, but we're looking at alternative dates, maybe where we have a family gathering scheduled here in the next month and a half, where we will have them back, you know, in person to give them these awards that they deserve and earned.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with Department Commander Mark Dvorak on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, joining us now is Paul Hassing, the director of the American Legion Riders. Paul, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Paul, can you refresh our listeners and tell us a little bit about the American Legion Riders? Who are you? How many are you? And what is your purpose?
The American Legion Riders are a program of the American Legion. They're made up of members of the American Legion Auxiliary, and the Sons of the American Legion. And we all have a love for riding motorcycles, and we found a way to benefit the programs of the American Legion through riding.
And Paul, I understand in the past year, Carol Evans Boyd Hooper did a special story on the Legion Riders who were driving through a neighborhood to honor one of our fallen who was lost to suicide. Family is not able to hold a traditional funeral due to COVID. Can you tell us, tell our listeners a little bit about how emotional that was for you and your riders?
Oh, wow. It was hard to ride the bike because of the tears flowing. And that, I speak for just about everybody that all of the riders that showed up to participate. Once we saw the families and, you know, the mother crying, and she was so sad but yet so happy that we could be there and do that for her, it was just a tear-jerking moment.
Paul, that had to be one of the highlights. It had to be one of the highlights of your year to be able to honor that family with your ride in his honor.
And you're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons we do these things, is we want to take care of our veterans and our brothers and sisters, and we found a way that we can do that in some small way.
And Paul, can you share with our listeners?
The heart of the American Legion.
It's all right. Can you share with us who's eligible to become an American Legion rider here in Minnesota?
Eligibility is you have to be a member of the American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary, or the Sons of the American Legion. And you have to own a motorcycle through yourself or through family.
And then how are you organized? Do you send out notices of rides?
Yeah, we're actually throughout the years we're getting better at communication, mostly through Facebook, because we have, I believe, 70 chapters right now with over 600 members, so, and very limited riding season, so the rides tend to overlap quite a bit. So through Facebook and calendars and stuff, we're able to get word out of when we're having rides.
Very good, Paul. Commander Dvorak, it's got to be great to have the American Legion Riders there to help with the activities and things going on here in Minnesota, and the way they honored one of our fallen is just tremendous.
Yeah, they do a wonderful job, Tom. It's, you know, it's a good example of the Legion family coming together and accomplishing many great things for our communities. It's just very heartwarming to see what they do. It makes me want to buy a motorcycle.
You be careful on those motorcycles, Commander. Commander, we're going to have to take a short. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, my wife won't let me, so I think I'm okay.
All right, we're both safe then. Commander, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got some special guests coming on. We've got the National Vice Commander from the American Legion. We've got the National President from the American Legion Auxiliary. And then we're going to talk some more with you and have on Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. We have to take a short break. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In today's show, we've been talking all things American Legion. And my co-host for today's show has been Mark Dvorak, the Department of Minnesota commander. And, Mark, we're going to have a special guest in this segment. Joining us now is Bruce Furbach, who is the National Vice Commander of the American Legion. And, Bruce, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and thank you for having me.
Bruce, I understand you're a fellow Vietnam veteran, and you served in the United States Army.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I served 1 year in Vietnam from 1968 to 1969, November.
And then you've been involved in the American Legion for a long time. My paperwork here says you were post commander, county commander, district commander, department commander, and so on. And now you are the National Vice Commander of the American Legion. Congratulations on working up all the way up through those chairs to that level, sir.
Well, thank you. It's been a 52-year year journey.
It's hard to believe it's been that long since we got back from Vietnam, but time flies, sir. Time flies. I wanted to ask you, there was a change recently. It was called the American Legion Act. And for the American Legion, which is our biggest veteran service organization, as I understand it, there were some gaps since Pearl Harbor to today where there were certain periods that our service members were not eligible to join the American Legion, but that's been all cleaned up, hasn't it, sir?
Yes, it has. Back in 2019, President Trump signed a bill letting us open up the eligibility dates from December 7th, 1941, to the current date. We're very happy that he did that. We've been working on getting something like that for quite some time. We have signed up a lot of those members. We here on the national level and the department level, we encourage our local posts to canvass the area to get these members, eligible veterans, signed up so they can be a part of their respectful communities.
So, Commander, I understand that when they fixed that, it says now that anyone that served in the military since Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941, right up to today, is eligible to join the American Legion. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah. Yeah.
Commander Dvorak, do you think everybody in Minnesota knows that that's been cleaned up and that some people that formerly were not eligible to join are eligible now?
You know, Tom, that's a messaging issue we still face. You know, before we were shut down in March from traveling, you know, the posts I visited, I would bring that up. You know, what have you done in your local media, you know, to get this message out? And I would get some different kinds of looks from these post commanders. So it's not getting out like it should in the community level. So we're working on that. And I constantly remind these posts that they need to get the message out in the local community.
And Bruce, I wonder, on a national basis, there's probably a lot of eligible veterans that really don't know that that was changed and simplified, and that now they're eligible to join their posts and work on those missions.
Yes, yes. We are working hard on that. We're trying to get it in newspaper ads, radio spots, on the internet, whether it be social media, Facebook, Twitter, or just the common word of mouth to get the message out.
And, sir, as a national vice commander, you've got your work cut out for you. You've got states all over the United States to work with. And, of course, you're just south of the border from us in Iowa. How's Minnesota doing? How's Commander Dvorak doing? You guys working together well?
Well, I've known him for over a year now. We're like I said, we are in our second year, and right now I think currently Minnesota is in either second or third place nationally as far as membership goes, and I would say he's doing an outstanding job in membership this year so far.
Commander Dvorak, I imagine you've got a good friend there on any day other than the day the Gophers play the Hawkeyes.
That's true. Thank you, Commander Bruce, for those nice comments. You're a great man, and I enjoy visiting with you whenever we're together.
Commander, can you tell us a little bit about the National Vice Commander? That's got to be a big job. Can you tell us a little bit about the mission on a national basis as opposed to the mission here in Minnesota?
Okay. The mission of the American Legion is the American Legion strengthens our communities, states, and nations with programs and services for our veterans, our military, and their families. And I have 8 states that I'm responsible for that I am in contact with, either by visiting or by social media and emails. And we work hard on making sure that every veteran is important to us, and we make them. We also embrace their military when they come back. We help them transition from military back to civilian life. And here in Minnesota, I know has a selfless service who contributes to something larger than themselves.
We're talking all things American Legion today on Minnesota Military Radio with my co-host, Department Commander Mark Dvorak, and our special guest this segment is the Vice Commander, National Vice Commander, Bruce Furback. And Bruce, Commander Bruce, I have to ask you, this has been a strange year. I call it the lost COVID year. It's affected everything that everybody does. Have you, in your 8 states and here in Minnesota, found ways to deal with it and keep taking care of our veterans and follow up with the buddy checks to make sure that everybody's in good shape?
Yes, we do hold conference calls. We send probably more emails, text messages. Certainly, COVID has put a damper on things, but, you know, the American Legion adapted and has overcome many of the obstacles, and especially with our buddy check program. We go out and visit our buddies and see if they've got any problems and anything that we can help them with. The American Legion also has blood drives, Meals on Wheels. We run errands for our veterans and just recently I heard that Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa and another legislator from, I think, Georgia, has put together a bill that they're trying to get through to have a national buddy check week. And I don't know exactly where it is in the legislature, but it has been put up for approval.
And Commander Dvorak, sounds like you've got a real great partner there in National Vice Commander Bruce. You put your Iowa and Minnesota things aside, and you guys working together pretty close.
Yes, we do. We understand the importance of what the American Legion does. So it's pretty easy to be involved and stay involved and work together for the common cause.
So Commander Dvorak, sounds like there's 2 messages from this segment. Number one is the eligibility has been changed. If you served in the military anytime between December 7th, 1941 and today, you're eligible to join the American Legion, and American Legion is doing a lot of great things. So add your name to the list of people that are American Legion members. And number two, Commander Dvorak, we've talked about buddy checks before. No better time than to check on our fellow American Legion veterans than today, when everybody's kind of locked up at home and staying out of COVID trouble.
That's correct, Tom. We're still getting great comments on our buddy check program.
All right, Commander Furback, I'd like to thank you for joining us today and hope that you'll continue with your great efforts to work with Commander Dvorak here in Minnesota. Wish you all the best, sir, and thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's certainly been my pleasure and honor. Thank you.
And Commander Dvorak, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but when we come back, we're going to talk to the national president of the American Legion Auxiliary. And this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is the Minnesota Department Commander, Mark Dvorak, from the American Legion. And, Mark, we've got another special guest with us for this segment, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. First, we have to listen to a message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In partnership with the Lutheran Social Services, Minnesota Service Corps is a nation-leading program designed to bring essential community-based services directly to veterans and their families across Minnesota at no cost. Due to its unique structure, this program also provides resources to previously underserved areas in greater Minnesota. Services include individual and family counseling, financial counseling, debt management, addiction counseling, disability service, and in-home counseling. The goal is to help veterans and their families to develop skills and draw on their own strengths to bring about successful and lasting family stability. After serving our country selflessly, veterans and their families can know that we stand behind them and we're ready to serve them. For more information or to request services through CORE, contact your CVSO or County Veteran Service Officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, our co-host for the show has been the Department Commander, Mark Dvorak. And Mark, with nearly a million members nationally, the American Legion Auxiliary has achieved its own unique identity while working side by side with the veterans who belong to the American Legion. Like the Legion, the Auxiliary's interests have broadened to encompass the entire community. And joining us now is Nicole Clapp, National President, American Legion Auxiliary. Nicole, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
We're happy that you could take some time to join us. We're sorry we didn't get to meet you up at Breezy Point, but in a COVID year, things have to be flexible, and it's good to have you on. I'd like to ask you about the American Legion Auxiliary. Can you explain to us what was your eligibility? What was your entree to the American Legion Auxiliary?
Yes, actually, my journey began at age 4. I saw individuals giving out the memorial poppy, and I asked my mom if I could help do that. And at that point, we determined I was eligible to become a member of the American Legion Auxiliary to honor the service of my grandfather, who served in World War II in the United States Navy in the Central Pacific Theater. And I've been a member 46 continuous years ever since.
Yeah, Nicole, you've had a career in between, a healthcare career, bachelor and master's degrees in nursing administration, and all the way up to president and chief executive officer of a hospital. So you've been busy.
Yes, I have. I wanted to give back in a career that I felt that I could be an asset, and that was healthcare.
Well, and Nicole, you've been a member of the American Legion Auxiliary for most of your life. I understand that auxiliary units in 49 states proudly host American Legion Auxiliary Girls State, and it's estimated that approximately 19,000 young women participate in that. Can you explain that program to us quickly?
Yes, absolutely. The American Legion has a Boys State program, which is comparable to the American Legion Auxiliary's Girls State program. It is an educational opportunity that our departments put on each summer for junior girls in between their junior and senior year of high school, where they learn city, county, and state government, and they have an actual living environment of campaigning and running for office, as well as running elections. And then there are two individuals that are selected from each of the programs to go to Girls Nation, which is held then in Washington, D.C. in the summer.
Very good. We're talking about all things American Legion today on Minnesota Military Radio, including the American Legion Auxiliary. And Commander Dvorak, does the Minnesota American Legion Auxiliary work closely with our national president?
Yes, I believe they do. You know, I try to learn as much as I can about the auxiliary. And Madam President Nicole, I've been a member of the auxiliary now for a little over a year because my wife was in the military. So I'm a proud auxiliary member also.
Well, congratulations, and we greatly appreciate that. Every state that I visited last year and had hoped to so far this year have had at least one male auxiliary member to honor their spouse's service. and we greatly appreciate that, Commander. That was our eligibility opening up last year in addition to the Legion Act that Vice Commander Furbach spoke about earlier on the show, as well as looking for membership opportunities now with members through the Space Force.
Madam
yes,
President?
And, you know, we do wonderful work in the state of Minnesota in the auxiliary, and I'm just in awe of the Legion family, especially the auxiliary, and what they do.
Yes, you have approximately 30,000 auxiliary members in Minnesota, and for us, the American Legion family nationwide, if we're all collectively together, we're about 3 million strong.
Madam President, this is Tom Lyons again. I'm wondering, here in Minnesota, we have listeners all over Minnesota on 63 stations, and for some of the ladies that might be eligible, how do they get involved in the auxiliary mission here in Minnesota?
Actually, there is a push that we've been focusing on in the last year. Across the nation, there are 4,600 Legion posts nationwide that don't have an associated auxiliary with them. And so as we look at the definition of the American Legion family, there are opportunities for auxiliary members, if they are a direct descendant or a spouse of a Legionnaire, or if there is a veteran who has deceased in their family, there are eligibility opportunities. It can be as simple as writing letters to support the Legion's initiative legislative campaign, to serving the meals, doing the blood drive. We've had thousands of face masks made, obviously, this past year due to the COVID pandemic. There are so many opportunities if you like to work with children and youth, patriotism, citizenship, national security, as well as, of course, our largest program, Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation.
Madam President, here in Minnesota, Commander Dvorak is a member of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the leadership of the nine federally chartered veteran service organizations, and they work together to combine their membership and to go up to the up to St. Paul, to the Capitol, and the legislature, and work on various issues. And I understand that the American Legion Auxiliary at one time helped draft the original GI Bill in 1944, and that you get involved in advocating for our veterans on Capitol Hill is just right alongside the Legion members.
Yes, actually, every February, end of February, beginning of March, the National American Legion has a Washington, D.C. conference in which the American Legion family, the writers, the Sons of the American Legion, as well as Auxiliary, travel to Washington, D.C. to approach the Hill and also have that opportunity to learn about legislative priorities and then, most importantly, have time with our senators and representatives to actually voice our needs and concerns on an ongoing basis, as well as we have the legislative priorities that we address on an ongoing basis. But there's actually always something to be physically present in Washington, D.C. on the Capitol steps.
Commander Dvorak, sounds like you've got a wonderful relationship with the American Legion Auxiliary and work hand-in-hand to take care of our members.
Yeah, that's true, Tom. And, you know, the Commander's Task Force, we asked the auxiliaries to be part of it, and they are now. And when, like Nicole said, when we were in Washington, D.C. this past March, we had two auxiliary members from the state of Minnesota that were with me when we met with a lot of our legislators, and it was wonderful.
Terrific.
And actually, the National Chairman for the American Legion Auxiliaries Legislative Committee is from Minnesota. It's Norma Tram.
Okay.
Nicole, we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
It is my pleasure, and thank you for all the great work you're doing in promoting the needs as well as the assets that the American Legion, as well as all veteran service organizations, can offer through your Minnesota Military Show. We greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am. That was Nicole Clapp, National President of the American Legion Auxiliary. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Sons of the American Legion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been the American Legion Department Commander, Mark Dvorak. And, Commander, we're going to be joined now by the Sons of the American Legion, Dennis Hinkenmeyer. He's the Sons of the American Legion Detachment Adjutant. And Dennis, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Dennis, I understand the Sons of the American Legion exist to honor the service and sacrifice of Legionnaires. Can you tell us about the qualification for membership in the Sons of the American Legion?
Sure, Tom. It's open to all male descendants, adopted sons, and stepsons of members of the American Legion, or those previous members that have gone to post everlasting. And there is a specific time period. We mirror pretty much the American Legion itself. There's a short period of time, about a year and a half during World War One, and then, of course, from December 7th, 1941 through the present date.
Dennis, what is the mission of the Sons of American Legion here in Minnesota?
Well, Tom, I think it pretty much mirrors that of the American Legion. We follow very closely the four pillars of the American Legion. We are actively involved within our own posts. A few years ago, the American Legion on a national level authorized the Sons of the American Legion to be part of the post honor guards. And a lot of times you'll find that with the aging population of the American Legion, it might be hard to fill a full contingent for the honor guard at a military funeral. We help there. You heard Dr. Kelly earlier talk about VA activities. We're very much involved in VA activities. There might be card parties. There might be bingo games. Whatever the VA is looking for, we're there to assist.
Commander Dvorak, the Sons of the American Legion is another extension of the American Legion. We've talked about the auxiliary today. We've talked about the riders. It must be fascinating for you to have the Sons of the American Legion out there, somewhat younger than some of your members, and an active partner in all of the missions of the American Legion here in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. And first of all, I want to thank Dennis for all the great work he does as the adjutant for the Detachment of Minnesota. And I'm also an SAL member because my dad was a World War II veteran. So I do understand the mission of the SAL, and I just couldn't wait to start a chapter at my own post once I was really familiar of what they did.
Commander, you're showing me some new sides today. You're the commander, and you're a member of the American Legion, a member of the auxiliary, and a member of the Sons of the American Legion. Is there any other portion of the Legion we can get you signed up for?
Well, I'm working on the riders yet to buy a motorcycle.
Dennis, you've got a unique department commander this year for the second year in a row. Sounds like the two of you work together pretty well.
Well, we do. Mark and his lovely wife, Linda, have been very close friends of myself and my wife, Denise, over the years. And so it's really enjoyable now to work with him as he serves his command as department commander.
So, Dennis, what's coming up the rest of this year for the Sons of the American Legion? You got some Christmas stuff coming up?
Well, because of COVID, everything has been pretty much put on hold. If we can get into the VA, we'll be there to help with the Christmas. We had to cancel our fall conference, as you know, and that's why we're on the radio today. But we're going to Zoom that meeting on Saturday because there are some very important business that the executive committee has to address. We're supposed to meet again as a detachment or a state this coming March in North St. Paul. Hopefully, by that time, things will be somewhat back to order, and we can meet there face-to-face. Our detachment convention is scheduled for the end of June of next year. We always hold that at Legionville, and we always encourage as many people to come as possible. We're under good command this year. Our detachment commander is David Vulcan. Pretty much the rest of the officers stayed in place because of COVID. So we're looking good. We're strong. We'll have over 11,000 members by the end of the year. And nationally, we'll have about 360,000 members by the end of the year. I did talk with our national commander, Clint Bolt, earlier. He apologized that he could not be on the show today. But he sends his greetings from the state of Virginia, where he lives now.
Dennis, very good. Keep up the good work for the Sons of the American Legion. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thank you so much.
My co-host today has been the Department Command, American Legion Department Commander Mark Dvorak. And Commander, joining us now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, well, hi, Tom. It's always great to be with you.
Director, we've talked a lot of times on the radio and about all things, everything that's going on out there at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. I hope you've got your hard hat on. I know you've got projects going, but you work closely with a lot of the veteran service organizations. And today, my co-host is the American Legion Department Commander Mark Dvorak, the largest veteran service organization in Minnesota. I'm sure you know each other well. And how important are those relationships, Director?
Yeah, so, you know, we not only sponsor service organizations who work in our building in order to advocate for veterans who are either hospitalized or maybe they just have issues or questions that the service organization can help them with. You know, we've partnered with the American Legion here for many, many years. Jeremy Wolfstetler, the service officer, has been in our building and is just an incredible advocate. He's on our consumer advisory board. He functions in a variety of ways to just come to me and say, "Hey, director, you know, I'm hearing from my legionnaires that we can do this better. This is some area that have concerns," or maybe just to say that, you know, you guys are doing a good job. So having that type of presence in the building, in addition to the support that Commander Dvorak and the leadership from the American Legion provides us, and the auxiliary, I mean, it makes a big difference on how we're viewed by veterans and how veterans are supporting us in the hospital and in the community. So we really value that relationship, and we couldn't be successful if we didn't have that kind of relationship with certainly the American Legion and with all of our service organizations.
And Commander Dvorak, can you just tell us a little bit? Jeremy works for you and the American Legion, and he's out there helping veterans with their claims if they had some type of an injury or some medical problems due to their service. He's probably one of your most valuable employees and working closely with American Legion members.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. Well, hello, Director Kelly. Good to hear your voice again. But, yeah, Jeremy, I'll second what Director Kelly said. Jeremy is a wonderful person. He just has a big heart for veterans and helping them. He's a disabled veteran himself. And, yeah, he's out there all the time doing what he can for these veterans.
And, Director Kelly, in the past, you and I have talked about two of the governor's priorities. One of them is to prevent veteran suicide, and the other one is to eliminate veterans' homelessness. I know that you work closely with the veteran service organizations and the commander's task force on both of those issues, sir.
Yeah, we really know that in order to be successful in a whole variety of things, and particularly those two priority areas, it really takes really an all hands effort for us to engage, you know, at Legion events in the community with service organizations, with county veteran service officers, and a whole variety of people, because there's just these are complex problems, and we can't do it ourselves. It's MDVA, it's VSOs, it's the Legion, it's all kinds of people, and again, the Legion has been a great partner in that. And Tom, I also want to mention, if I have a minute, that, you know, the number of volunteer hours and volunteer in-kind donations and other levels of support by the American Legion members is phenomenal here. Last year it was almost $1 million worth of hours and support. And last year we were a little bit down because it was just hard for getting people to work in the building because of the COVID. But that's typical of the kind of support we get from the American Legion, voluntary hours, donations, support, service officer in the building, the whole variety of things, which help us to be successful. Not only in the two things you mentioned, but in a whole host of other ways as well.
And Director, I understand recently that the American Legion donated some iPads.
Yeah, we had a great event out here. So we had 50 iPads that were donated as part of Operation Comfort Warriors. And so Commander Dvorak's deputy was here. Jeremy was here, and the representative staff from Apple were here giving us the iPads. And, you know, you can imagine these days when veterans can't have visitors or it's difficult to see their family, for them to be connected, especially in our community living center, has just been golden, because now they're able to use those iPads to communicate with family and loved ones, and or just, you know, keep up on the news in ways that they weren't able to do that previously. So, yeah, 50 iPads, Operation Comfort Warriors. It was really a nice event we had here.
And, Director, over the years, the American Legion has also contributed to help with transporting our veterans to and from their medical appointments.
Yeah, you can imagine a lot of our veterans, not only in the metro area, but really throughout the state, are limited by their ability to transport themselves, and sometimes they don't have the support network or caregivers available to help with that. So the Legion, certainly the DAV, County Veteran Service vans, all kinds of help with that. But, yeah, the Legion, again, just one of the many areas where they support veterans throughout the state of Minnesota.
Commander Dvorak, I think there's probably a lot of American Legion members that don't know how closely you work with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Sounds like a really healthy relationship.
Yes, it is, Tom. And I want to thank Director Kelly again for those nice comments. And, you know, we tried, you know, Jeremy does a monthly article in the Legionnaire, which is, you know, gets all over the place. And he does a wonderful job explaining what he's doing for the veterans and how he works with the VA hospital in Minneapolis there. And, yeah, I couldn't be more proud of the job I have, because like you said, Director Kelly, a lot of great people in the American Legion, and I just watch them do what they're best at, and that's volunteering and getting the job done for veterans.
Very good, sir. Director Kelly, thanks for joining us again today, and glad to hear about your relationship with the American Legion.
Thanks, Tom, and Commander Dvorak. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Director Kelly.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, my co-host, American Legion Department Commander Mark Dvorak, and all of his guests to tell the story about the American Legion, Director Pat Kelly, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we celebrate a decade of Minnesota Military Radio shows and all of the folks who make this possible every week. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.